is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Wednesday, the 17th of January, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Sorry for the late start this morning, but we had to give away some prizes on Morning Blend. And I don't mind sharing a little space so people could win a couple of things. We all like things, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's Wednesday, the 17th of January, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Wednesday, that means it's our Man Down mashup session where we blend On the Clock and Guardian Radio AM to talk about what's in the news. So let's get the show started. The Sand Dollar Merchant List is growing. If you're looking for more places to spend the digital Bahamian dollar, visit sanddollar.bs/merchant-list to view a list of verified merchants in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and the Family Islands. If you're a business owner and you'd like to join the Sand Dollar Merchant List, contact 302-9880 or sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. For vendors that do a lot of trade with Family Islands, I recommend calling or messaging the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit to find out how you can provide more options for our Family Island residents. Sand Dollar On the Clock giveaway is back. We're giving away sand dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts for your answer to be valid. Download a digital wallet right now, because every Tuesday and Thursday, you can be a winner. I'd like to say thank you to all of the players and winners in yesterday's trivia. It was great to focus for a moment on Martin Luther King Jr. I had a fourth trivia question. I didn't even get a chance to get to it. Mr. Nuri, let me ask you that trivia question. Adam Clayton Powell Jr.,
okay. I know who he is. I know who he is.
Go ahead. Ernest Hemingway.
Okay, I know the island.
And Martin Luther King Jr. Okay. All visited or lived on which Bahamian
just
island?
Just because you say the names, because I do history, right? I know which island. I know which island. I know which island.
Yeah, that's for you. You could say it. It's just between us.
Yeah, but few people know who Clayton Powell is.
Clayton Powell is the first African American. Is it legislator?
Congressman.
Yeah.
It was a big thing for black people, man.
Oh, yeah.
He led the civil rights movement before Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big thing when he came to the Bahamas and actually was living into the Bahamas. But then they was trying to pursue it to lock him up, saying he was corrupt, whatever it is. So he was, then he said that he's not coming to Congress, but he's going to stay in the Bahamas because you can't kick him out. They eventually locked him up and then they kicked him out of Congress on the scene. But that's a good story. Do you ever watch, what a movie name? What a show? Harlem. The King of Harlem? Kings of Harlem. No, you don't watch TV. Anyway, Bimini is the answer. It's Bimini's the answer. I got excited.
I was thinking of American Gangster with Denzel Washington.
No,
when you say Kings of Harlem,
with the guy with the sleepy eye. Or the name just...
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker.
Or is it his brother? Do you know that Forrest Whitaker has a brother that almost looked like his twin?
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
But it's Forrest Whitaker.
Okay.
I was King of Harlem, right? And when he's acting as Bumpy Johnson.
Right.
And in that, they said, hinted towards the same story about Powell, when Powell lived in Bimini, and he refused to go to a Congress meeting like months. Like he'd been out of like there for like 8 months, having been to no meeting. And they said, man, you can't be like out of meeting so long. And they was trying to kick him out, for lack of a better word. And he said,
for lack of attendance or for
lack of attendance.
Yeah.
But in terms of going to jail, he accused a lady mobster who's a bag woman for the mob. And she said that that's slander. You can't be accused me for such. And that she
said. So they wanted to lock him up for slander?
Yeah, man. She sued and win. He couldn't prove that. I mean, he saw her get the money, but he couldn't
criminal
prove
criminal slander? Like how we have criminal liable here.
Criminal liable.
A charge just construed to prevent people from speaking the truth because they don't have the resources to access the information necessary to prove it in a legal judicial system.
All of that, big words, what you said.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, but Bimini is the answer.
All right.
Am I right?
Yes, you
are. Oh, of course I'm right.
Bimini is the answer.
I got excited just now. Sorry about that.
Okay, text here says, it's Godfather of Harlem.
Okay, good. Thanks.
A couple of texts knew the answer, Bimini. Another text that says, no, Miss Green, we too tingsy. It's not that we too tingsy, right? Being tingsy is a thing. The problem lies in the inability or the unwillingness to commit to creating the things that we value and valuing the things that we could create. Those are the things we should be tingsy about, the things that we can create. And this expands across all sort of sectors of society and of the nation state. Again, for example, I don't think a country that cannot protect its citizens' biometrics should be able to collect its citizens' biometrics. And a country that cannot protect its citizens' biometrics should not rely on the resources of another country to protect said biometric data. What has to happen is the global political platform that we all participate in must create an equal and equitable system so each country can produce these things on their own so that they can participate in global practices, policies, and norms as sovereign nations.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be tingsy, you got to commit to creating the things you value and valuing the things you can create. Text, I can't read that. Just know that I can't drink on air. I'm a hasty Mr. Newry. That's only matters because my other Grammy is a Mitchell. My other Grammy tell me I can't drink till I'm 85. So no, I don't know why. Texter. Mr. Newry.
Yes.
Lots of stories to talk about today.
Okay.
One in particular, maybe we start here, that was in Tuesday, the 15th Nassau Tribune. I'm pulling it up right now. The headline is, Pia Glover Roll certifies BPSU election overturning registrar's decision not to, and the headline ends there, I think, ratified to confirm the BPSU results.
That's big news, you know.
Absolutely. Public Service Minister Pia Glover Roll has certified the September results of a Bahamas Public Services Union election, overturning the decision of the Registrar of Trade Unions, who declined to certify the results because of alleged irregularities in the voting process. Quote, based on a thorough investigation and consultation process, we have made the determination that the irregularities identified were not of a magnitude that would justify overturning the results, Mrs. Glover Roll said in a statement yesterday. Quote, we are confident that the process produced an outcome that reflects the will of the participants. However, we also acknowledge the need to make improvements so that future union elections are conducted in a manner that inspires confidence in the electoral process. Mrs. Glover Roll's decision means incumbent BPSU President Kimsley Ferguson has officially won the September 27, 2023 election, beating groups led by Alexander Burroughs Jr. and a former labor director, John Pinder. Mr. Burroughs and Mr. Pinder had complained to Van Delaney, the Registrar of Trade Unions, about the election process. Mr. Ferguson appealed to the minister after the registrar declined to certify the election results. Yesterday, Mr. Pinder said the minister's decision, quote, really sets a bad precedent moving forward with other union elections, close quotes. He said during meetings, a representative of the Office of the Attorney General was present, adding that a lawyer typically advises the registrar whether to certify election results. Quote, you can open polls late, can drop registers off late, can have incomplete registers. Don't open certain polls. And this says that's not sufficient irregularities not to certify the result, he said. In a letter outlining their concerns in September, Mr. Burrows and Mr. Pinder said candidates and labor officials received an incomplete register of voters. Among other things, they said the designated officer in Bimini did not receive a copy of the voter register until 2 p.m., while the officer in Inago never received the list. Agents were allegedly not allowed to witness the counting of ballots before polls opened. A candidate with the rival team allegedly saw a designated officer receive a sealed envelope from a candidate from another group at the Kendall Isaacs Gymnasium. One polling station at the Department of Environmental Health Services allegedly opened late and closed early. According to Mr. Pinder and Mr. Burrows, the unofficial results showed Mr. Ferguson got just over 500 votes in the leadership race. Mr. Burrows received over 400, and Mr. Pinder finished third with over 300 votes. End of article. It's big news.
It's big news.
I question when Mr. Ferguson appealed to the minister, is there an official appeal process that he had to follow?
Okay.
Did he have to submit in writing the appeal to the minister? What is the process for appealing?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big question. And another question I have is, at what point will the minister responsible, the registrar's office, the union registrar's office, make public a detailed assessment of what went wrong?
Mm.
Why the registrar felt that what occurred was irregular, and detailed explanation as to why the minister declared that they were not sufficiently irregular to recall the results.
And this is what should be done in the public, right? It leaves public to question the integrity of the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is new to me. I've never heard of a union group questioning, challenging an election. So that's new, right? I appreciate it being played out. Then I can appreciate the body. Which body they appeal to? Again, I forget. Anyway, I appreciate the body saying that there was enough irregularities to warrant the questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that to be fleshed out. And then there's a conclusion. And I'm assuming that the minister, after looking at all of the issues, concluded mm-hmm. it was not enough.
There's a second point, the question of transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Who has access to this information? I imagine if the registrar of unions, of trade unions, had declared the results official, right? They find the good results,
mm-hmm.
that we would not have heard anything about it. We wouldn't have any room to question what happened mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. the election. But as soon as you appeal to the minister responsible for the public service, it then becomes a public issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do we not deserve, as citizens, access to the reasoning, the rationale?
And a printed conclusion that I can read and evaluate and say, okay, I see.
Right. And not just printed. Don't post a picture of a document
mm-hmm.
online.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in IT, show people how to post the document online
mm-hmm.
so other people can assess it, pull parts from it, Google search, right? Go into the law database and search. Make these things more accessible, please. It's very concerning.
Mm.
But this is not the first time, Mr. Newry. I don't think this is the first time that a union has challenged union results.
Okay.
And I don't think this is the first time that a minister, even if they are within their capacity or discretion as the minister, has overturned a ruling or a decision by a sitting authorized body, right, or a statutory body. We've seen the minister responsible for Junkanoo overturn a decision.
Yeah.
Right? I think we've seen it within the trade union space as well. at the very least, the challenging of results. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Hi, good. Thank you. How you do?
I'm excellent, man, and good morning to Mr. Nuri.
Blessings to you.
Ms. Green, last night, I had an opportunity to be invited to a meeting, a branch meeting, where you had the guest speaker, the Honorable Steve Glover Roll,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Also the member of parliament of the great constituency of Golden Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Green, there are so many jobs in this country. Ms. Green, let me say something to you and Mr. Nuri this morning. You know what we lack in this country? Laziness, Ms. Green. Laziness. I mean, and then you had a gentleman speak about, you know, if you even come there, they can help you to fill out an application wherever you want to, you know, someplace you want to, you know, maybe you don't have the access to a computer or to fill it out. Ms. Green, there are jobs in this country, and I beg to differ with anyone who tell me that I'm wrong. I'm telling you, Ms. Green, why is it that so many Bahamians in this country waiting for Santa Claus to drop something in their lap? You got to go out there and work for it, Ms. Green. I go out there and cut grass and clean yards, and I'm 55, so why can't the young person do it, Ms. Green?
You want to know why?
Mr. Nuri.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because the old people don't want to do it. Let's talk about it, because the old people don't want to do it. Many Bahamians are in a state of depression, and they're in a state of depression because the lifestyles that they had become accustomed to are disappearing. They can no longer amass the income, revenue, the cash necessary to maintain the lifestyles they've become accustomed to. People are so depressed individually and collectively that the birth rate is dropping. The drug money has disappeared. The numbers
only,
money only, has disappeared.
Only you can make yourself depressed, you know. If you try, you got some people in this country don't try. You got some people in this country, they just sit down and expect it. You got to go out there and hustle and try to make it work, Ms. Green.
Do it. Let's apply God's good grace to people and presume that people are suffering from things that are heavy. The young boy who was molested as a child or watched his mother be molested as a child or watch his mother have to engage in transactional sex just for a job. The number of stories I've seen with women. Women sharing screenshots of conversations between them and their boss or them and their potential boss. You could imagine you asking your boss for time off because you got to take your child to the clinic and your boss tell you you could get time off if you're willing to spend time with me. And it's not just once, twice, three times. People are depressed because the lifestyles that they had become accustomed to or have been convinced that they can achieve are just unattainable. And nobody is showing them how.
Ms. Green, what I'm saying to you, right, is that the young people in this country, and we love to talk as Bahamians, talk about there are no jobs, but there are jobs in this country, Ms. Green. That's the point I'm trying to bring to you. But
absolutely.
What I'm saying to you,
let me show you something.
Why should Aaron Green have to go pick you up, carry you to go fill out an application, or carry you to go for interview for a job? You have to make that first step.
You know why? I can tell you why. First of all, because there's no public transportation. The buses run early in the morning for maids and domestic workers and construction workers, and late in the night to and they stop at 5:30. Stop at 5:30. Hold on, listen.
Ms. Green, let me
do it.
Let me say something to you. I live out west. I'm not going to say where I live. I live past the airport. And I see fellas standing, like if I'm going out in the morning, I see fellas standing right there on the corner by AFL, I can arrive to go to work.
None of them should
to
have
go to
that.
Work, not,
but
depend,
do it.
Not depending on no bus.
Do it.
I can arrive to go to work
do it.
To provide.
You, do it. You're missing the point, cousin. You're missing the point. Ain't no person in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas should have to hike a ride to work when we could, in New Providence, that's only 21/7, operate a public transportation system. That grown men who have to take care of families have to hike their way to work, while big, dusty politicians sit in cars that they can't afford on their own, with no performance get to be celebrated like kings. Now, I'm not saying that people should be lazy and we should just accept their laziness, but let's be real and talk about the environment, the reality that we are forcing young people to live in and call normal. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hey, good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Crane. How are you?
Hey, good, thank you.
Ms. Crane, I kind of agree with the bit. Bahamians have become very lazy. We are now raising a nation of beggars. I mean, every morning you drive, and these guys get up 6 o'clock in the morning and stand on the corner to beg for a dollar, to beg for 5 cents, to beg for 25. And it just don't make no sense. These guys have good health. They can go and pump gas. They can go and cut gas. They can find many things to do, Ms. Crane, to make an honest living. But they would rather get up every morning, 6 o'clock on their bed, to go stand on the corner and beg. And I think it's deplorable. I just fired 2 Bahamians, mm-hmm. all right? I have a construction and a landscaping company. Mm-hmm. I fired 2 Bahamians because all they want to do is come on my job and smoke dope and drink rum.
On the job.
You understand?
On the job.
On the job. They yeah. want to smoke dope and drink rum on the job. I mean, and I just don't, they complain about other foreigners who are working. They holding 2 and 3 jobs and making a honest living. And they want to complain about them, but they don't want to work. They just want to come on your job and smoke dope and drink rum, all right, and mm-hmm. beg. And yeah. I think it's deplorable. I agree with DeWitt on this one.
Now, let me ask you a question. You think I disagree with you and DeWitt on that particular point?
I don't think you disagree.
Because what I'm saying is that they are lazy, but the laziness stems from somewhere else. And that's why I asked DeWitt for a moment. Let's apply God's good grace and understand that they, nobody wants to be a beggar. And can we identify the crises, right, that these people are being raised in or are coming out of? That's what I'm saying. Because there is a real reason why we have developed a culture of laziness. There's a real reason why parents are modeling and adults are modeling this behavior to young people as okay. And there's a real reason why, even with being inundated with those cultures, young people can't see and identify other cultures in society of hardworking people. What I'm saying to you is that these people are depressed because they cannot see how to make a way forward.
I have a tendency to agree with you on that.
But you fire them.
There was a very strong young man on the corner, and he goes out there and beg every day. I offered the guy a job. I said, listen, jump on the truck. I'll take you to work. He tells me he's injured. He says, I'm injured. I said, you're injured. I said, now let me ask you a question. If I put a wheelbarrow full of quarters in the front of you right now, would you leave it there or are you going to carry that home? He walked away from my vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand? I do agree with what you're saying. They are depressed. All right. Yeah. I sometimes, when I consider life and when I consider things that people have to go through, sometimes I get that way too, but I just have to shake it off. Ms. Green, I have to shake it off. Don't shake it off, I've become just like these people.
How do we teach people how to shake it off? See?
Well, you have to consider your wife and kids, and you have to consider that you're not just living for yourself. And if you're a single person who's living for yourself, then you have to consider that you have to take care of yourself, and ain't nobody can take care of you for you.
I like it. I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying because, I see, here's my thing. I'm with you. You cannot allow people to come to your job high, intoxicated, on cannabis and alcohol. That jeopardizes your professional standing. That jeopardizes your ability to operate your company. It jeopardizes the livelihood of all of the people working with you. That individual's peers, he's jeopardizing their livelihood and their future. So I'm with you. We have to fire these guys. But how do we compel them to understand that their actions have larger consequences, consequences beyond their own perceived suffering, beyond their own perceived inability to do anything? That's where we are. But I want to thank you very much because you're making sound points. And DeWitt made some points, some really good points as well. Yes, the jobs are there. Yes, Bahamians are not taking them up. The question is why?
And thank you, Ms. Grant.
Absolutely. Yesterday we referenced, or day before yesterday, we referenced that article, 50 drug lure, 50% of school leavers leave in without a diploma, mm-hmm. right? And in that article, they're speaking to some of the issues that they found. And basically, they're saying an apprenticeship program where young people can start working towards a career from seventh grade may begin to shift this culture. If you could connect the child, the learning, the skills learning to a future, if you could show them right now, you learn in this math so you are able to calibrate the belts on the car properly, then maybe you can compel them and inspire them to try harder, to focus, to commit. But my question is always, how could 50% of students be leaving school without a diploma?
It's concerning.
Have we just ignored the dangers of social promotion? From the assistant, was it the assistant deputy public prosecutor argued that she should have gotten the job because she was next in line. We didn't see the dangers of social promotion leaking everywhere. The indictment is on the government and the citizens that allow a government to kick children out of school unprepared for the world. The Gini coefficient, South Africa, the inequality coefficient in society, South Africa is 0.63. The Bahamas is 0.53. Is it that young people can see the social inequality, can also see a government, a society's lack of will to equalize society for them? Do they see the inequalities and see people not caring, people taking advantage of the inequalities, and so they say, forget it? Why should I work hard if people are actively working to maintain the inequality? Is that what's happening? It's a big deal. But DeWitt, I mean, you make a point. There are lots of jobs out there. The Minister of Foreign Affairs indicated there are lots of jobs out there and we need to fill them. Last year, The Economist told us we need a million more people to maintain the lifestyles we've become accustomed to. Who's going to do the jobs if Bahamians don't want to do the jobs? And if Bahamians are not doing the jobs, then what are they doing? Another story from last week, Mr. Nuri. Murder rate up 150% compared to last year. Mm-hmm. Grandmother is latest victim, her grandson in critical condition. The murder rate has skyrocketed 150% compared to last year. Now, this article was Friday of last week, where I think the 10 people had been killed. Up to this point, we're at 12. I think there was a...
So last year we had 5 murders already by this time?
Yeah, I think that's what it says. More people have been killed through January 11th this year than in any other year in this period in over a decade.
So we had a worse...
Only 4 people were killed up to this point last year.
So you said nearly a decade. So a decade ago we had more than 10? For the first... Why? My gosh.
2015 was a bad year.
2015 was a bad year.
Yeah, 2015 was a bad year. So what are Bahamians doing when they're not working? Mm. The Prime Minister released his crime plan. At least that's what I expected. When I saw the statement, this press statement from the Office of the Prime Minister, release of the Davis administration's 5-pillar plan to fight crime, I thought we were going to get a crime plan. I don't think that's quite what we got.
And I'm glad you spending time on this, even though I see a caller. Let's go to the caller first, because right. I want to hash this out. Producer, pass the caller for me through, and then let me respond to this crime plan that the government, the official government, has put forward. And I want you to help me hash this out, if you have time.
Yeah, man.
Good. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller going once? Oh, that means I get good time. Call again twice. Good. So let's talk about this crime plan. I think we actually briefly spoke about it earlier this week, right? And this is my concern. Mm-hmm. My concern that when, first of all, I didn't think that the Prime Minister needed to speak. That's my premise right here. Yeah. I believe the Commissioner of Police is responsible to responding a crime plan.
The Commissioner, right? And the Minister of National Security, surely.
And the National Security will basically say these are the tools we're giving the police force, and this and the police force would say, this is how I'm going to manage these tools. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the prime minister. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. The people felt that there was a need for the leader of the nation to speak and rehash what the commissioner of police said earlier, rehash what the minister of national security said earlier. That's on us.
Which people?
Well, whoever was complaining that forced the prime minister to speak.
Okay, then.
Right? When the prime minister did speak, I expected immediate action. In fact, as he said, good morning, Bahamians, or good evening, Bahamas, I expected the mobilization of police forces then. The active, whatever they decided was going to do, I expected it to be a force. The force was going to be forcing, right? Roadblocks, whatever they need, I expected immediately.
If he said expect constitutional breaches, then you expected constitutional breaches immediately.
Immediately. Yeah. Right? Right now is a delay. So now I'm starting questioning whether the prime minister was serious, or should we look at it, at him, his speech, as being serious? Because I'm still waiting. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting. Right? I believe that if when the prime minister did speak, he's supposed to be coming with a continuum of legislation. This is what government do.
Yeah.
They say, hey, these are the legislation I plan to implement in the future, immediate future, within the next 2-3 months, since it's a crisis that he felt the need to speak. Mm-hmm. I think he alluded to some things like that, but I don't know. Right. I know he mentioned swift justice, and I'm sure we had swift justice thing before with Alison Maynard Gibson, so I thought we still had that. But perhaps he announced that we're going to have all kind of courts. Well,
they reference swift justice.
Yeah, but we always have swift justice.
The Prime Minister referenced swift justice in one of his most recent statements.
Yes, and see, every time I hear the word swift justice, I automatically think of Alison Maynard Gibson, because right. You know, that was her, that was the buzzword during her reign as Attorney General, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So I assume that if he's making an announcement, he's going to announce that in 3 months, we're going to have these three courts instituted.
Right.
Right. And we're going to extend the hours of these particular courts. Right. So I say, okay, I see it.
Right.
I see it. I feel it. Right. And I just feel as if there is a delay still. In terms of the response, I'm waiting on the response. I mean, I heard his response.
Or the rollout.
The rollout is a delay.
Well, let me read from the statement from the Office of the Prime Minister on Tuesday, the 16th of January. Today, the Davis administration released a detailed and unyielding strategy to combat crime, which speaks to the government's resolve to face this national crisis head on. The strategy is built on a, quote, whole of government, that's WHOLE, and whole of society approach. Encapsulated in the five pillars, prevention, policing, detection, prosecution, punishment, and rehabilitation. Each pillar is designed to tackle the different aspects of the crime issue. And here is the detailed and unyielding strategy that was released. Are you ready? 1, prevention. Initiatives include expanding youth programs, didn't say which ones, investing in community centers, didn't say which ones, and enhancing educational opportunities, particularly targeting at-risk populations.
And like, most of these things exist now, mm-hmm. right? Clearly, there is a disconnect on how it's being done. And if the Prime Minister is addressing these things that already exist, mm-hmm. I assume that he'll be would be suggestion on how they plan to improve what exists. Not announce that they plan to do what is already being done. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
2, second pillar, policing and detection. Strengthening the relationship between law enforcement and communities, modernizing policing methods, and incorporating advanced technology for efficient crime prevention and detection.
See, that's commissioner of police work. And I'm assuming that's what he's been doing. And if he hasn't been doing that, then I should be asking for the commissioner of police to resign. You see what I mean in terms of why he's speaking? Why are you talking about commissioner of police work? That's what he's doing. That's what he claimed he has been doing for the last 2-3 years, mm-hmm. right? So you suggesting that you're going to tell the commissioner of police that he needs to do this suggests that there's a problem.
I haven't seen the words body cam, CCTV, drones, spot shotter.
Did we get the drone?
Shot spotter.
Do we have a shot spotter still?
I
Yeah, but did we get an update on that?
Short spotters working.
It working?
They reference it regularly in terms of being able to identify where an incident has occurred, right? Like, they reference short spotter. They don't really reference body cam.
I remember seeing a drone, you know. I remember seeing the drone flying, and I saw, I must see the police drone, right? But I haven't heard anything about this drone since then.
Would you know? Is it properly marked?
I mean, at least I should see a drone.
See, because I would hate to think that I observe a drone over my house. I presume it's spying. It's collecting information from a private space. Mm-hmm. I call the police and tell them, hey, there's a drone over my house, and it's collecting data without my permission, right? And the police don't come. And I decide I can knock the drone out the air. And then I knock the drone out the air, and then all of a sudden I get charged with obstructing in the course of police duty.
Yeah.
And then all I could say is, did I know that it was a police drone? Am I supposed to assume that only the police have drones? Did somebody announce that they were running drone coverage in my neighborhood? How am I supposed to know it's a police drone? The third pillar, prosecution. Improving the judicial process to secure swift justice. See, it's right there. Swift justice, establishing special courts for specific types of matters and enhancing support systems for victims and witnesses. Now, that establishing special courts thing, that's a particular thing because it's just, you can't just say, okay, turn court number 4 into a gun court. You can't just do that.
It's a broad statement. There's no detail there to say.
I know, but I'm still looking for the detailed and unyielding part of the strategy. Punishment, implementing fair and proportionate punishments, including sentencing reforms and improving prison conditions. 5, rehabilitation, preparing.
Didn't the Minister of National Security mention the prison and how they plan to improve it also? See what I mean with rehashing stuff?
Rehabilitation, preparing offenders for successful reintegration with vocational training, educational programs, and mental health support. The strategy highlighting the government's commitment to a comprehensive, no-nonsense approach to public safety involves cross-government collaboration and the active participation of the community, NGOs, and the private sector. It's a direct call to action for every sector of society to play a role in this critical mission. Can it be? How will we play a role in this critical mission? Are we just supposed to be quiet when the police are talking because you know crime is in a problem and we have to get a hold of it? So just volunteer your rights away as a citizen. We're going to need more than this for a detailed and unyielding strategy to combat crime. If anybody actually has a link to the detailed and unyielding strategy, please publish it online. Mr. Nuri, last week the PM said, in fact, the 15th of January on Monday, the PM said we have to address the bail issue. Do you think the bail issue is a part of the solution to crime?
Say again?
I'm reading from the article, PM, we have to address bail issue from the 15th of January. That's Monday of this week.
Didn't the Chief Justice say this one issue?
No, the Attorney General said there's no issue. Oh. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said last night that the government, judiciary, and lawyers have a responsibility to address the issue of bail in the Bahamas, which he said has become a death sentence for many young men.
What that means?
Quote, a judge has... I don't know what it means. It troubles me greatly, Mr. Nuri. Let me read the quotation from the Prime Minister.
That sounds like a layman-type response. Clearly, this person ain't no KC.
And the Sunshine Band. There's no KC in the Sunshine Band. A judge has the right to use his discretion when granting bail.
You trying to say the judges don't do that now?
Davis said during a national address on crime. He continued, judges in the Bahamas live in the Bahamas and they know the truth of the statistics. Releasing these men on the streets is akin to a countdown to a death sentence. See, here's my problem.
Nobody has a problem with that?
Here's my problem. Many of the men on bail and many of the victims of murder and alleged suspects are wearing electronic monitoring devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's alleged that many of the people committing crimes are on bail, and I would assume many of them are wearing electronic monitoring devices. Is the electronic monitoring device of no value? Are we not tracking them real time? Have we not reached the point where we need to reconsider the legislation and the policy and make it mandatory that companies have the capacity to track people wearing electronic monitoring devices real time, and that there's a unit established within the police force to communicate with said EMD companies real time?
I am concerned that the Prime Minister critique the judiciary openly.
Mm-hmm.
I know as a King's Counsel, and especially after hearing the Attorney General response, after hearing the Chief Justice response, explain it, to go back and question them again. I'm a little concerned about that. And I'm concerned about the whole legal fraternity not saying, hey, Prime Minister, you know better.
Absolutely.
You know better.
And even if you don't want to speak directly to the Prime Minister, how easy is it to just make a statement on the standards and procedures, the principles of the Westminster system? That the three separate arms of government work together but do not critique each other.
Yeah, clearly it's a political statement. Let's go to this caller, let me read some text, right? Yeah. Producer Patrick, caller through. Go ahead, caller, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. C.U. See, what's the Henry?
Mr. C.U.
I'm Aaron.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't you think that by now someone should invite someone from the jury system or some magistrate or somebody who could explain or just clarify some of the things that we may have be having a problem with?
I hear you, know, but the Chief Justice, Chief Justice went in a detailed speech. I mean, he spoke like an hour. Go on and detail and explain it. You go and go back to that and listen to that. You say, okay, I understand. It was so simply done. And I said, man, this is brilliant. Man, okay. No one should question this no more. I understand now. But I see that you, there was not a chance to listen to it. But you listen to it?
Yes,
it was detailed.
Give me a reference.
So, I'll give you a reference.
Year.
Okay, so ma'am, he's saying if we listen to the Chief Justice's presentation at the opening of the legal year this year, that he explains it there. That's what I meant by reference,
Based on what you hear him say, right, because I haven't heard it up yet or read it, did he say something similar to Prime Minister saying that he has a problem with the magistrate allowing person from there, right? Did he say that?
No. He said that he echoed
their discretion.
He echoed the Attorney General, who mentioned that there are procedures in place where the magistrate judges can use their discretion. Yes.
Okay.
Sir,
and that they're competent people who know the law and they use the discretion.
The commissioner normally and always says he's the same repeat offender, right?
Yes.
In and out the system, right?
Yes.
Now, based on what you say, the Chief Magistrate said in the statement, based on what my understanding
Chief
is,
Justice, yeah.
right, that when a person goes before the court, right, and they've sentenced to prison, they can only be there for a length of time before bail. Right.
So
they can't keep them beyond that time, right or wrong?
When they're on remand. So when a suspect is on remand. Yeah.
I'm talking about remand because you can't sentence inmates don't go on bail, right or wrong?
Right.
Correct, right?
Right.
So we're still talking about remanded inmates.
Mm-hmm.
Once they are sentenced, once they are remanded and they go to prison and they sit there, when that time is up, they have to get bail, right or wrong?
Well,
don't they have to get their bail? Bail from them?
Hold on. You can. There may be an instance where you can. The point is that once a certain amount of time has elapsed, you have the right to go before the court and say, "Hey,
again,
I've been here for so long. It seems unreasonable. I mean, it seems like the prosecution doesn't have a case. This is an unreasonable length of time to hold me for a matter that you say you're certain about."
And by then, according to lawyers, if I were your lawyer, they have no choice but to let me out on bail.
The Attorney General mentioned that for the protection of the community, that the protection of the accused, that the magistrate judge.
Can they have bail?
Yes. That's
mandatory. Can they do that?
For the Attorney General mentioned that reasons why they could deny bail.
then that, I guess that goes to the person who is a threat to society in that case, right?
But you have to prove right. that threat, though.
And you cannot, because so okay. it's a problem. The problem mm-hmm. is you cannot say, hey, this man is suspected of committing a number of crimes, and mm-hmm. we don't think you should give him bail for this particular crime. And mm-hmm. I presume what the authorities are saying is, if you have not convicted him of a crime yet mm-hmm, on mm-hmm. any of those previous
innocent
charges,
until proven guilty, right?
And you cannot okay. use the fact that he is a suspect mm-hmm. as a suggestion of proof that he mm-hmm. committed this act now.
Okay, so that's the percentage of those who go before the court, where the court see reason where they could argue not giving those ones bail, right? What about the ones who automatically, who may be first offender or who don't have that argument to say they've denied bail? What about those percentage there?
That number
okay?
of people.
Can, you can't withheld bail from those particular persons, well, right or wrong?
The argument is, listen, you can uh-huh. withhold bail, but the argument is that I have been in jail for so long
mm-hmm.
that... Now I want you to prove to me that you have the evidence that mm-hmm. you're going to use in this case or let me out on bail.
Mm-hmm. Let me get that, Aaron. So all I'm saying is
yes,
that, that is not what we're dealing with. What we're dealing with is the Bail Act. Okay?
Now,
that is what the lawyer goes to, right? Because when most of us, let's look at persons who are getting knocked down years ago, right? Let's use as an example.
All right.
A lot of places have just been knocked down, right? Either jogging or driving, whatever. Just knocked down and just gone. No witnesses, just... What you call those people? Just leave the scene, right?
Yeah.
Look at when they go before the magistrate. 5 years,
yeah.
6 years and all of that, right?
Yeah.
And person like yourself and me will say, what the hell? You mean you take a whole man's life in and run and leave him there and the court only gives this person 5 years? Look here. We don't understand. The magistrate can only go by what's on the book, what
right.
the law states. Am I right or wrong here?
You're right.
Right?
Those cases I think those cases shouldn't go to the magistrate court. You knock a whole human being down. They can't go to a magistrate court. They got to go to the Supreme Court. But, ma'am, I got to go
to a
break.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But I want to say thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for, you know, interrogating this with us. Absolutely. Your contributions are valued. Producer, we are already at the end of the hour. Let's go to a break and then switch over to the other side. Mr. Nuri, I mm-hmm. wanted to talk death penalty. I wanted to throw these questions out to the audience. Are you for or against the death penalty? If you're pro-death penalty, why? What crimes would warrant a death penalty? What form would it take? Are there any exemptions? And for instance, would it require a unanimous guilty from every member of the jury and a unanimous on a vote for death penalty as well? And if you're anti-death penalty, why are you anti-death penalty? And what is an appropriate alternative? But we also, I don't know if you wanted to talk about the Tourism Development Corporation of the Bahamas Bill 2023, which is also very, very interesting. And since tourism is everybody's business, it would be great to walk through the new bill, if it hasn't become an act already. What say you?
I say, let's talk about it.
All right, so we're going over to the other side. Producer, play that song by Shine from the new Bite Day rhythm. Listen, if you want to break up with me, you better break up like with me like how Shine is break up with you. This is Happy Bite Day to You, I think, by Shine on the Bite Day rhythm.
I'm so glad that you've gone, darling. I'm so glad that it's over. I'm so glad that you've gone, darling. I'm so glad that it's over. Happy birthday to you. We celebrate the day I finally walked away. Happy birthday to you. Me leaving you at last. I hope you had a blast, cause you used me and you tricked me for many, many years. You've been lying in my ears. Come
Frankie. You had me down and out. Now I want you puff and pout. It's a celebration.